talking ahead of Peter. But at the end, like, there's so many voices, so many voices, so many voices, that we might just get to the doctrine and love the reality. So I've been exercising to find and share what is, I was really helped by two words from the religion. Practical and practical. If we are those who want to experience, enjoy the compound spirit, the life-giving spirit, we need
three secrets.
One, practice. Practice! We need to practice. We need to practice. How much time in a day are we going to spend? I don't know. I don't know how much, but we need more. Having said that, let's enjoy Exodus chapter 30. Verses 25 and 30. And we forget.
그것들로 바르는 거룩한 기름을 만들 때 향 만드는 사람의 기적법에 따라 잘 복합된 향기로운 향유를 만들어라. 이것이 바르는 거룩한 기름이 될 것이다. 또한 너는 아론과 그 아들들에게 기름을 부어 거룩하게 하고 그들이 제사장으로서 나를 섬기게
하라. The thing is, the Old Testament is the book of pictures. Yeah. And the holy anointing oil, compounded oil, is the picture of the Spirit. So that's why we use this. Here we see the revelation concerning the compound ointment, which was the compound of olive oil, which speaks of the Spirit, and four spices. I will not go over the spices, but they represent the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So this compound Spirit, who is now the Spirit, again, we're not going to go over the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, but that Spirit, which is the compound Spirit, the all-inclusive process compound Spirit with divinity. And after the Lord's resurrection, with incarnation, with his humanity, human living, death, and resurrection, the cross and crucifixion, as the ultimate consummated triune God. There's nothing higher, there's nothing more important than this. This compound ointment was not given in chapter 1. That's it. Not even in chapter 20. But it was in chapter 30 after the whole description of the tabernacle. This indicates that the compound ointment is solely for the purpose of anointing God's dwelling place, the tabernacle, and the priests. We read all the verses in this portion before, how every item of the tabernacle was anointed, and also the priest was anointed. So, we see the use given to the anointing oil. Anoint God's house and anoint to be. So this is so important. So the corresponding ointment was only for this purpose. And I was touched by the end of verse 30. It says, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and sanctify them, This is so clear. And then we see something else. In 1 Peter,
chapter 2,
verse 5, God peace, righteousness, comfort, humility. This should flow out of our spirit, out of the depths of our being. This is Christ as life. So we need to see this. And then in verse
39. Let's read
that together. The Spirit was not yet. Well, we know very well that the Spirit was in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Right, the Spirit was there. And we heard yesterday that the Spirit was there for life. So our prophet says the Spirit was there. Well, because up to this point, the Spirit of God had only divinity. It was the Spirit of God. That's why we can say He was not there yet. And it says because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Luke tells us clearly that when the Lord resurrected and He met those disciples on the road to Emmaus, He was glorified. So at that time, the Spirit of God became the all-inclusive Spirit. And in John 20:22, the Lord breathed the Spirit into His disciples, which was something it could not happen before. When the Spirit was just the Spirit of God in divinity only, it was not available to the disciples. And this is the Spirit that Christ has promised before His death in John 14:16-17. So, now the Lord Jesus is the Spirit. And He has the essence and reality of incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection. So, before Christ is resurrected, such a Spirit was not yet. So the all-inclusive Spirit constantly puts us where? Do you think the Holy Spirit, that Spirit puts us in the heavens? No, He puts us in the cross. And we see this in Romans 8:13. Let's read this verse. Lord, deal with what I am. may I apply it across Europe. So that means that we have to cooperate with the Lord. Otherwise nothing happens. So this is a Christian life. A Christian life is a life of experiencing the compound spirit. Everything related to the Christian life is wrapped up with the compound spirit, where you have holiness, mystery, light, power, and real spirituality. We don't need a bunch of how-to books. We just need to practice the spirit. The compound spirit. Here's a good view. The compound spirit is everything we need in the Christian life. We don't need anything else. That's why I'm concerned about doctrine. You know, we can know the doctrine of the compound spirit, and then we hear something or we read something in the Word, say, oh, I know, yeah, right, compound spirit. That's not reality. We need the experience. The doctrine is not enough. Of course we need the doctrine first, but that's just the beginning. So may the Lord open our eyes and we realize that Christian life is totally dependent on the compound spirit. Not a matter of teaching, yes, initially, but it's not a matter of improvement, adjustment, or correction. The Christian life is absolutely a matter of the compound spirit. We may apply the compound spirit to everything in our life, to our home life, to our job life, to our church life. We should live a Christian life according to the teaching of the compound spirit. So that brings us to Ephesians chapter 4. And then we all are clear that the biggest contradiction in the Bible is when the Lord told Peter, I will build my church. But here is a matter that we must take care of if we are to build the church. We have to be what? We have to walk worthily in verse 1. Walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. How can we walk worthily? With all lowliness and meekness, of suffering, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the oneness. What kind of oneness? Of our good nature, of our humility, of our good God. No, the oneness of the Spirit. So we need to be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit, so that the church can be built up. Now, oneness is different from unity. Unity means people come together. But oneness is of the Spirit. Strictly of the Spirit. So, praise the Lord, we are one.
Amen.
We're one in the Spirit. We can illustrate this, and we have illustrated this many times, by the lights. The lights are all individual lights, and actually, you can turn them off and on individually, but the electricity makes them all one. Likewise, the Spirit can make all of us one. Praise the Lord. To keep the oneness is to keep the life-giving spirit. Then that brings us to Romans 8:14. Let's read it together. I am very, very touched by this verse. You might say, why? Because I always desire to do God's will, to do what God wants me to do. And I always have in mind when the Lord rebuked those who said, oh, we have done this and that for you. And the Lord said, I never knew you. We don't want to do what we ever have free time. Yeah, not that much free time we have. But if we ever have free time, then we can do what the Lord wants us to do. Sometimes we may have two or three things to do. It's good. Lord, what should I do first? That we could be those who are led by the Spirit of God. And then we can see how do we get the leading of the Spirit. It is not by praying. Yes, true, we have to pray. But we will see how that is. You know, I was reminded, isn't it correct? It tells us when Israel was in the wilderness, one key item was God guided them in the day by cloud, at night by fire. So the Lord guided them, and the interesting thing is they had to be ready any time that cloud or that fire moved, they go. So this is so crucial, so important. Later on, when they had the priesthood, the high priest was the one who got the message from God. And the way he got it was very unusual. In his clothing, there were two shoulder plates. And those two shoulder plates had the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Six on one and six on the other shoulder. And the Hebrew alphabet has 29 characters. And in the plates there were 24. And then he also had in his chest something called Urim and Thummim. Don't ask me what that is, the Bible doesn't explain. There you had five characters. So these characters were lit up, and that's how God could speak to the people of Israel. So this was a very crucial thing. This is the way the Lord led them. And then after, there were prophets who told the people what God wanted. So this was so important to the people of Israel. They couldn't do anything as far as traveling. They couldn't travel unless God told them to. So the leading of the Spirit does not derive nor depend upon outward things. You may say, oh, I want to go shopping. If the bus comes right now, that means God wants them to go. Or some other silly thing. No, it doesn't depend on outward things. It depends on the inward sense of life, of the life of God. You know, it's so good when we're not sure, when we're not clear. Just stop and see what is the sense in your spirit. You have light or you have death. That's the way we can be led. So now there is two items that tell us how we can be led of the spirit. Let's read Romans 8, 4 and 6. So here we find the two items that enable us to be led by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and set our mind on the Spirit, especially to set our mind on the Spirit. Our mind that always gets into trouble has to be set on the Spirit. Then we can have the leading of the Spirit. And it's so good when you're doing something because the Lord told you to do it, not because you wanted to do it. So we need to practice this, to have our mindset of the Spirit and walk by the Spirit. Then we can be led of the Spirit. And then what happens is very interesting. Again in verse 14, these are sons of God. Later on, it tells us that the Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we are children of God. But here, it doesn't say children of God, it says sons of God. So, in order to mature, we need to be led by the Spirit. If we are led by the Spirit will put a mark on us that will set us as different. We are different from the world. We're different from unbelievers. We're different from even our family, our job. You know, the job. You always have a boss who likes you to be nice to you. He makes a joke and you have to ha ha ha. We are the ones. And he wants to be great and we don't drink. We are great because the Spirit sets a mark on us. We're different from all the other believers. So, we must live and walk according to the leading of the Spirit. For this, of course, we need an adequate contact with God. Who among us has an adequate contact with God? This is so difficult. We're all so busy. We have to pray. Lord, remind me to spend more time with you. You know, Daniel prayed three times a day. Morning, noon, and night. We need to at least pray three times a day. Hopefully more than that. Then we can have an adequate contact with God. And we can say, Lord, make all men my heart. Ephesians 3:17. When the Lord makes home in our heart, He really can lead us because He has our mind, emotion, and will. So we must learn in the presence of the Lord to be dealt with by Him in two aspects. Our disposition and everything that's from the old man. Then that brings us to Exodus chapter 21, verses 5 and 6, to read on this. But
in this
Christ. And then it says that the virgins took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Lamps signify the spirit of the believers. Proverbs 20:27. Which contains the Spirit of God as the oil. Here, what we see is the need of oil. So, they go out with their lamps, means they go up to light the dark world for God's glory, for testifying, shining the candle of light. And this reminds me of what we covered when we covered the lampstand. When we come to the meeting, we need to light up the lamp. We need to be a testimony. Let's read verses 2 and 3. And find
the lamps of the Lord.
Okay. Here it says that they were foolish and they were prudish. The foolish, it's not that they didn't have oil. They had oil in their lamps. They had oil in their spirit. But the prudent have oil in their vessel. According to Romans 9, we are vessels. What is the vessel? The soul is our personality, is what we are. The soul is the vessel that has to contain the oil, the spirit. How we need this? Again, this is salvation of our soul. That we could have oil in our soul. That means that the Spirit would spread from our spirit through our soul. And then we can really experience being prudent. So how we need this, we desperately need this. Be very clear about the lamps and the vessel. The spirit is the lamp, and the vessel is the soul. In regeneration, we have the Spirit of God, and this causes the lamp to light up and to burn. But we need the extra portion of the Lord in our soul. This is what we need. We need an extra amount. So we need this extra portion so the Spirit could fill our entire being. This is what we need. Since I trust that, I have not given me a doctrine. I trust that I have shared with you something practical. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, yeah.